So in this session, David, you know, we all are wanting to elevate the consciousness of the world in whatever way we can. And I know we've touched on it in the past in this program, but to continue in that line of questioning, what about the frequencies of cell phones and microwaves? You know, some people, energy conscious people, are saying that actually lowers
what... Well, we calibrated that, you know, and also specifically because I knew you were going to ask it. And we got, no, it doesn't have an effect.
Really?
You know, there are different dimensions. You know, consciousness is a nonlinear domain. It's in a different paradigm, a different dimension than electrical impulses. We got that as neutral.
Now, it's neutral effect on our consciousness, but is it a neutral effect on our bodies?
No, I just asked, what was the energy of them? And I got that, you know, does it have a bad effect? No.
Really?
It doesn't have an adverse effect. Electronic devices apparently do not have any adverse effect on human protoplasm or consciousness.
Well, then I won't ask the next question about how do we protect ourselves. Now, this might seem like an odd question, how do the enlightened masters pray? You know, when one steps outside of his or her ego, attachments, then prayer does, you know, it takes on a very different shape and meaning.
Well, it isn't really prayer anymore. It's an acknowledgement of the source within. The acknowledgement of divinity immanent as what the world calls self for the capital S. There's like a rededication by citing the authority and divinity of the presence, by acknowledging its presence. So one acknowledges the presence. It's a nonverbal thing. Let's say we're going to do a recording and this recording is going to be heard by other people. All right. So as the steward of your gifts, you have a responsibility, you might say. I'm thinking now, I don't think ordinarily, but to explain it, see, it's apparent, it's obvious that the highest alignment that you can possibly have, the highest acknowledgement, awareness, to be of service to the listening world is what you are. What you are by your commitment is to be the avenue by which the nonlinear communicates as best it can with the linear. So it's not a doingness, it's a way of being that brings greater awareness to the presence of divinity and within as the source of the truth that's being expressed. So it's acknowledging the presence of divinity as the self, as the Purusha, as the teacher within the teacher.
Now that brings
another
thing.
The body of the teacher is, you know, the physicality.
Right.
Through which the energy utilizes the mind to express itself in the linear domain. Otherwise, you see, at level 600, for instance, there is no such thing. Level 600, one goes into a state of profound bliss, which is total and complete within itself. Then as consciousness advances, which it does out of its karmic propensity, and the innate quality of consciousness itself is to evolve, it takes you even to greater dimensions, which are not really describable, you see. And each level is, let's say, owning truth in its greater and greater contextualization. You reach the level at which the differentiation between the manifest and the unmanifest is merely a superimposed mentalization and not a reality. The manifest is simultaneously the unmanifest. So the propensity then manifests forth as the expressions of the teacher, see, which is aligned with the overall field, which gives it a verbalization and intellectual contextualization so as to be comprehensible. In and of itself, the reality is nonverbal. It's profound and nonverbal and not expressible. That's why it's sent as a vibration and a frequency and a transmission, because the frequency and the energy of it has within itself the entire knowingness, which is nonverbal.
For us that have these busy minds and can't get beyond the verbal, it's hard for us to fathom.
Well, it's just because one is hypnotized and fascinated by the verbal. See? Well, that's an addiction. That can be transcended, because below the verbal is the nonverbal. It's because of the silence that you can hear what the mind is thinking. So you begin to realize that the infinite truth is not discernible between two thoughts, which is a misinterpretation of the teaching of the Buddha, it's prior to them. Out of an infinite, silent, nonlinear field arise thoughts. They're noticed sequentially, so it's stated that they're sequential. What's sequential is you're noticing them. They're like the fish flying out of the sea. Out of the silent, still ocean arises a fish, a flying fish. Then arises another flying fish. None of them are being caused by anything. Each one is independently occurring. Then the mentalization is superimposed. See those three fish? You know what they're doing? They're triangulating. Now you get what the intellect does? It superimposes. You know, also it will teleologically. They're triangulating in order to something or other. See?
Right, right.
That's res interna. That's the world the way it seems from the mind, which has nothing to do with res externa, the way it is out there. None of those fish are triangulating. See? That's all in your head. The same as seeing constellations in the sky. That's all mentalization, see? You can take a bunch of dots. If you connect them this way, you got this constellation. If you connect them this way, you got this constellation. Mm-hmm. In reality, if you go out there in a spaceship, there isn't such constellation. There isn't such thing. That's only a pattern that you project out there from your mind.